welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Hello and welcome, beautiful people. It is Thursday, All Steelers Talk Pick'em Thursday at All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk and check out your favorite podcast host on Twitter at Nostrack, at Donnie Droon. Donnie, we are 3-4 days away from the Pittsburgh Steelers Week 15 matchup with the Tennessee Titans. Some dubbing it the Bud Dupree revenge game, but we'll get to that. How you feeling? What's going on? How you feeling heading into the weekend?
I'm feeling kind of like 50-50, you know, that there's one part of me that thinks that at least on paper, the Steelers should win this game, just based off of the Titans and how they're playing. But then there's the pessimistic side of me. It just really doesn't trust this team on a week-to-week basis. And I think maybe they used up all of their magic in the half part of the third quarter and the entire fourth quarter of the Minnesota Vikings game. But some might argue that, you know, that should continue to push them as good performances throughout the week into the Tennessee game. So I guess ultimately we'll see. But at this point, man, it's so like wait and see with this team, right? Like you really never know what Steelers team you're going to get on a week-to-week basis.
On a quarter-to-quarter, half-to-half basis, really. It kind of feels like. Cam Hayward said today, actually, that the Steelers are fighting with their backs against the wall. This is when you show up and prove it, how much you got. Do the Steelers have enough? Like, or is that just – at this point, I feel like everybody's just talking. Like, they're just like, yeah, man, we know we have to win. Well, that doesn't mean a thing. Can they win? Like, can it happen?
Can I ask you a question? Do you think every game from here on out is a must win for the Steelers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even with the Browns' crazy COVID stuff and Lamar Jackson probably not playing, every game, I feel, especially because of that. Because at this point, the Cincinnati Bengals might be the team that the Steelers are chasing to win the AFC North. Yeah. So you can, and you've already lost twice to them. So you can't bank on the tiebreaker. You got to beat them out, which means you only have one game to lose. If they lose out, you have to win every game if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I figured too, like they, even after losing to the Vikings, they had so many like scenarios that went their way over the weekend, you know, with the rest of the AFC North pretty much losing and a couple of other different things as well. You already mentioned that Lamar, you know, with his ankle injury, he might not play. And then the Browns with literally 20 people on the COVID list. That game's going to be a disaster watch. I was looking at the over-under for that game, thinking I was going to be sneaky and try to make some money off of it. But I have to sit at 38.
38, dude. But that's yikes, like a good – that's a good number, if we're being honest. Because, like, the Cleveland Browns could easily just – if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm just going to hand the ball off every single down. Hope that Nick Chubb breaks a couple of them. But for the most part – that's like 9-10 minute drives. Nick Mullins shouldn't throw the ball one time. This is a Bill Belichick snow game in Buffalo situation for the Cleveland Browns. So, I mean, 38, maybe.
But I guess heading back to my point, like luck is still kind of like going their way. And at some point, like the dominoes are not going to fall in their favor. It's going to come down to them winning games. So I think with four games left, this is the week that they need to start putting a winning streak together. Kind of like reverse last year. You know how they started out 11-0, then dropped what, like five of their final six games? I mean, now's the time to do the complete opposite of that and somehow make a push into the playoffs.
Is it possible though? Like even if they beat the Tennessee Titans this week, you have the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead next week. Is that even like you can't? The Steelers can't do that. They can't go on there.
No, but what I will say is if you want to catch the Kansas City Chiefs on any year in the past 3 or 4 years, this is the year to do it. They seem to be kind of like the Steelers, a really like up and down team. Granted,
yeah, but the last couple of weeks they've been on fire.
Right, and that kind of like it's going to like what I wanted to say is that like this year entirely they've been super up and down, just in terms of performance. They have not looked like the defending AFC champion a lot of people thought that they were going to be. Now that being said, the NFL is very much a week to week league, and week to week the last few weeks, you can see the Chiefs have been playing phenomenal football. I think your best shot at beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead might have been like a shootout. with Patrick Mahomes and company. And
does Ben Roethlisberger win the shootout against Patrick Mahomes and company?
Chance in hell that Big Ben's going to Arrowhead. That the Steelers are going to go into Arrowhead and win a shootout with Patty Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and everybody else.
Yeah, I don't think so. This is true, Mark. I've been trying to say this for so long that they're Donnie's just in here with a red solo cup.
It's Kool-Aid.
Drinking his Kool-Aid. The one time you had chocolate milk, did you spill it, bro? Are you just using a piece of paper to clean up the spilled Kool-Aid?
I think my wife needs this piece of paper. Oh, bro.
That's all. We're watching Donnie in pure. This is peak male performance.
Clean it up with my shirt. Cleaning it up.
Just the shirt. This is peak male performance. This is what every husband should be. This is what every wife should want their husband to be. He's going right back for it. There's one sip of Kool-Aid in that. One sip of Kool-Aid left. And you just had to make sure that you finish it. All righty. Pittsburgh Steelers. Setbacks. That's where we got to start, right? The setbacks on the offensive line. Zach Banner, 2 days after Mike Tomlin's like, look, he just doesn't have his opportunity. When his opportunity comes, maybe he'll start. Well, that opportunity is not going to come for the time being because he suffered a setback in his ACL knee. I believe it's his ACL knee. Was not at practice on Thursday. At this point, the Pittsburgh Steelers said, I mean, Mike Tomlin said after the Minnesota game, we're going to turn over every stone. Well, the Steelers don't got no stones. There's no stones. Is it time to just admit the line is the line? It is what it is. They're either going to win games for the Steelers or lose it.
Life motto, it is what it is. That's showbiz, baby. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Shout out to Nick. Dude, we haven't seen Nick in forever.
Shout out to him.
Yes, hope Nick's doing well. Nick's probably doing more well than Zach Banner. And I feel like Zach Banner is kind of like the last clinking hope for this offensive line. Because throughout the entire offseason, it was, hey, you know, we're going to get Banner back healthy. You know, he's going to try to solidify the right tackle spot. And through the year, whenever he's working through rehab, the offensive line was playing like doo-doo. It's like, hey, just wait until we get Banner back. You know, things will improve. Now, 4 weeks left in the regular season, you're all but vying for a playoff spot right now. Zach Banner has a setback in his recovery and his timetable to return to the field. And it's like, okay, well, if Banner's not coming back, and if this is the best that we got, what should we expect? Like, what's to expect?
I agree with you. But, like, do you just admit, like, okay, the Steelers offensive line stinks. Like you can't work around that.
It's always been like that though. Like,
does that kind of help though? Do you think that maybe like the Steelers backed up against the wall with literally nobody left? You know, Mike Tomlin is Mike Tomlin and he's a motivating coach. At some point, do you think something clicks where they're just like, yo, we are literally fighting with scraps here. We got to win. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers won 8 games with Duck Hodges. Okay. They could put a scrappy, really bad offensive line together and have them do something, right?
But here's the thing. Duck Hodges won those games, and Mason Rudolph chipped in a little bit too. Won those games because the Steelers defense was playing is the best defensive unit in the league. They're not getting that output this year. And so, you know, whenever defense kind of takes a step back, you're going to need your offense to take a step forward. And that's just not the case right now. And to Mark's point right there at the bottom of the screen, $12 million is not a whole lot of money. Maybe it is to the people like you and me, but for NFL teams with a salary cap that's going to go up to $208 million next year, not a lot of money to pour into your offensive line. And on top of Mark's point, there's also very little draft capital sunk into that team as well. You expect the third-round center to come in and make an immediate impact.
A third-round guard who's playing center.
And then you're starting a fourth-round left tackle. And I'm not slandering these guys. These guys did not choose where they got drafted. They were thrown into the fire from day one. I think for rookies, they're playing just fine. But they're rookies. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to be mismatched week in and week out. This is a grown man league. And that's what you get when you don't sufficiently address the offensive line. I mean, just look at the Steelers line of the past. Guys like Pouncey, guys like DeCastro. Pretty much anybody else that you could find that played at right or left tackle for them. Just top tier guys. So they made a conscious effort to not do the sexy thing, go out, get big eyes up front, and it's paying dividends.
There's a question I guess I want to ask. Mean Joe Green tossed it out there with CBS Sports Radio. He's like, yeah, the Ben could still win games. He could still be the quarterback that the Steelers could win with. They need to put an offensive line around him, and he should come back for another season. If the Steelers have money and they have draft capital, I'm not saying that you still don't use your first round pick on a quarterback, because I think that if there's one there, you draft them. You don't even think about it. If they could use some pieces and some money and put an offensive line together, should Ben come back for another season? I'm not asking if he's gonna. I'm just saying, should he? Should the Steelers at least give him another season?
I think that question boils down to whether or not you think Ben Roethlisberger will give you a better chance to win than a guy like Mason Rudolph, or maybe even like another veteran, like bridge quarterback. I think the answer to that is yes. But I also think that, like, if you're going to bring Ben back, you need to address the offensive line. You absolutely need to. Noah, dude, we sat on this podcast March, April, May. We watched this team be assembled for this year. Do you remember us talking about the team and our expectations for the year and what we said? We said, this is really the team they're giving him. Yeah. This is Ben's last ride, and this is what you're going to do for him.
They put everything together, everything. They even went out when pieces needed to be filled and went out and got them. But like you said, every week we came on and said, well, what about the offensive line? What about the offensive line? What about the offensive line? And then people started to just get these imaginations, including myself at times, just saying, well, the offensive line's not going to be that bad. You know what I mean? Like, Chuk started last year. Kevin Dotson's that dude. Kendrick Green is the future. Zach Banner's here. And then they all came together, and you're like, wow, this is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Now everybody's getting hurt. I agree. I think that the Steelers have to put an offensive line around Ben. I also agree that if they can do that, yeah, why not? What's the difference? You're telling me Ben Roethlisberger is a worse option than Teddy Bridgewater or Marcus Mariota? No, he's not. He's not. I don't think that it helps the long-term future of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But hey, for 1 year, I mean, if you could pull something out of your butt, might as well try. But they'd have to put an offensive line together, whole entire thing.
This really boils down to the argument that we've had on the show before too, is whether or not you think this defense is good enough to win you a Super Bowl. Because if you do, and obviously guys like TJ, guys like Minka, they're going to be paid. If you think this defense is good enough to kind of counteract any shortcomings for the offense within the next like 1 to 2 years, I think you make a push. I think you do everything you can to try and go win a Super Bowl. And then after that, if it doesn't work out, which it probably won't, because you know we know this team right now as it is, isn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. There's not a whole lot you could do in one offseason. Granted, the salary cap is jumping up, so that will be really interesting to monitor. Not a whole lot you can do in one offseason to dramatically overhaul a team, you know, to make them go from what the team is right now to a legitimate Super Bowl contender in a conference that features guys like Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Josh Allen and, you know, the other very, very strong teams as well. Let's not forget Bill Belichick all of a sudden has a team back in New England now.
Got a bunch all of guys of a sudden has list. A team. We all knew Bill Belichick was playing chess, not checkers.
Had like 19 people on the COVID list last year. And it's like, hey, take the year off. Don't worry about it.
He probably gave half his salary away. He's like, yo, hey, you need an extra $500,000? Don't even worry about it. You just spend the year on the COVID list. Stay healthy, my friend. Train.
End of the day, though. And like, look, I get the appeal in the offseason leading into training camp for the offensive line, at least it was there, you know, because you
could talk yourself. There was something, but I think it was kind of make-believe.
No, hindsight, absolutely. But I did understand the appeal of watching Kendrick Green dominate in training camp and then thinking that Zach Banner, you know, should return as a healthy guy. Maybe a core four slides back to left tackle and, you know, get something going if he's not there. Maybe by then Dan Moore will have, you know, a better understanding of the game, maybe halfway through the season to slide him in. Let's not forget, a lot of people thought David DeCastro was going to be back too. Lot of people
the
thought
David DeCastro sudden, thing definitely threw everything for a curve.
Yeah. So I got why people didn't think the line was going to be as bad as it was, but at the same time, I mean, you watch the games, and it's clear as day the number one thing that needs to be addressed in the offseason, whether it be free agency or the NFL draft.
Do you think that they do have the defense? You touched on this a while ago. You think that they do have a defense to contend in the next 2 years? Or you think that all this conversation means nothing because the entire team needs a rebuild?
I think the defense is probably one or two pieces away from like getting back to that, like that 2019 really strong output. Then again, I mean, they've lost guys like Steven Nelson, and look, I know Steven Nelson did not have a great year last year. He had a really good 2019 season. But Steven Nelson, probably the number one cornerback on his team right now. They lost guys like Mike Hilton, who the Steelers did not want to pay. He goes over to Cincinnati, is playing pretty well for the Bengals right now. He was a very key part of their defense as well. Let's not forget Stephon Tuitt, AWOL this year. Devin Bush mentally, AWOL this year. Joe Schobert, I mean, you're going to need to fill that side, that other side of the inside linebacking core across from Devin Bush eventually. And then you have big decisions coming on, you know, guys like Terrell Edmonds and pretty much everybody else. I think the defense is good. I think it's good enough to go into the playoffs, but to make a legit Super Bowl push, to limit guys like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen on a very, very cold night in Buffalo with Pittsburgh and Arrowhead, probably not. I think you need to adjust the corner position sooner rather than later. I think you need some youth in there. And I also think you just need another dominant presence in the defensive interior, you know, that help kind of shake things out for the rest of that front seven.
That's the perfect lead into this. So Joe Hayden, just to add to the what ifs of the Steelers defense, Joe Hayden returned to practice today, limited, first time in a couple weeks that he's back at practice to even any capacity. He hasn't played in 5 games. I have a hunch that, and this is not coming from reports, this is nothing, this is just a hunch, that Joe Hayden will never play a football game for the Pittsburgh Steelers again. My thought behind it is that he's over 30 years old. He needs a contract after the season. He's got a foot injury. The last thing he wants to do is go put on worse performances than he already has this season, because he's been reliable at times. Go out, get a contract like Melvin Ingram did or somebody else, just a prove it deal. Go prove it somewhere, get a bigger contract. And that prove it deal is going to be good money. You know what I mean? That's a $3 million contract for a guy like Joe Hayden somewhere. I just don't think that there's any point in coming back. And for the Steelers at the other time, Akella Witherspoon's playing well enough that you don't really have to force him onto the field, if you know what I'm saying.
So Joe Hayden's going to turn 33. By the time next football season rolls around, I can't see him getting more of the bag than he already has. I'm not sure what kind of money he's going to be looking for at this point in his career. That being said, though, I think if Joe Hayden did want to get a little bit more money, I think it's probably in his best interest to come back and try to at least put something good on film to finish out the season. Because if you've been hurt practically all season, you've been battling through injury, and you don't even finish the season, because how long has he been out?
This will be 5 weeks.
And if he doesn't come back the rest of the season, what, it's 9 weeks, right?
9 weeks, yeah. With a foot injury, though, that's like realistic.
Right, but I mean, if I'm an NFL team and you don't play the back half of the schedule and you're going to be turning 33 years old, what money are you looking for?
All right, I guess I do get that, but what if there's a health concern? You know what I mean? What if, Joe, what could Joe Hayden be looking for? First of all, it can't be much money, but if Joe Hayden can get $2, $3 million, I mean, heck, to turn 34 and retire at the age of 34, that's a good career for a guy like Joe Hayden. If there's a health concern, you go get hurt, then maybe you don't ever get signed again. You know, I think Joe Hayden's name is good enough to carry him in somewhere next offseason.
Yeah, maybe, but you also have to remember, I mean, there were big name like corners like fresh on the market heading into the season that just weren't signed due to their age and their drop performance. And I mean, the NFL is just getting younger and faster by the year too, man. Like, I mean, why go out and sign like a 34-year-old guy who you know can't keep up with these receivers nowadays? Like, Joe Hayden on Ja'Marr Chase is not a good idea for anybody involved.
Yeah, but Joe Hayden knows how to play that situation better than, you know, a new guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, clearly, I mean, James Pierre didn't play it super 100%. Well. But...
And to that point, I think if Joe Hayden were to come back, I think he'd be the Steelers' best corner by far.
Oh, I agree.
I don't know if that's a testament to Joe Hayden or the lack of really strong depth in the Steelers' secondary room right now.
I mean, to that point, if he does come back, which, again, I'm going to stick with the whole I don't think he's going to, but if he does come back, that really boosts the Steelers' our defense, because at that point, you can move Cam Sutton inside. Akello Witherspoon has proven he could play outside. Get Arthur Millett off the field completely. He should never touch the field. Make Cam Sutton your nickelback. Use Akello Witherspoon and Joe Hayden on the outside. Your defense just became twice as good as it is right now.
So let me ask you this, because we've talked a bunch about Witherspoon. We've talked a bunch about Joe Hayden. There's been a lot of discourse about James Pierre this season. Nobody's really talked about Cam Sutton and how he's played. How do you think he's played so far?
I think he's played okay. I think he's played, he's that role where I don't think they're throwing to his side a whole ton. I think that he's had opportunities. Like, I forget what game it is. I want to say it was Cincinnati. He had an interception on Joe Burrow, but Cam Hayward batted it away. I just think that he's been there. He's reliable enough, but I think the Steelers, I think he'd be a really strong nickel outside guy. You know what I mean? Just like start outside, move to the inside. You don't have to play every snap on the outside. And I think at that point that's when he'd be used best, but he's not. He's just sitting on the outside. And I think because of it, he's playing good enough.
I would tend to agree. I just can't help but wonder how much better this defense might be overall with a guy like Mike Hilton in the slot, especially considering the money that the Bengals signed him for. Because, I mean, there were talks about Mike Hilton getting an entire bag. I mean, we're like
he double digits, the bag.
Like millions. And but he signed for $9 billion, right?
$9 billion, Mike Hilton?
Million. Jesus.
Yeah, I believe so. But it was that year. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a great year for contracts. I think if he waited another season and balled out the way he's balling out, that I think his bag would be huge. Huge this offseason.
He inked a 4-year, $24 million contract, $4 million signing bonus, $6 million guaranteed, an average annual salary of $6 million.
That's pretty nice. His bag could have been higher, but that's
I feel
nice.
Like that's good enough for him, for a guy who entered the league and wasn't drafted at all, for him to get that. And I also feel like that's a pretty team-friendly deal for how good he could play.
That's what I'm saying. I think that it's but that's the situation that they were in. They didn't have the money. The salary cap sucked. That's why his bag was so low. And, you know, here we are. It's just like the offensive line. It's the same thing. We are sitting here. It's week 15, and all the issues that we knew were going to be issues are issues for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Major issues. And we knew that there were going to be major issues. We just tried to talk ourselves around it. And frankly, Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, TJ Watt, and some of these guys on this team are good enough to keep this season alive. But if this was a normal year, if this wasn't the parity that it is across the NFL, the Steelers would have no hope. This season would be a disaster already, more of a disaster than it already is, but it's not, because the AFC is trash and the AFC North is even worse. So it is what it is. Donnie, let's pick week 15's games here. You want to start out with the Steelers? I want to start out with the Steelers this week.
Okay.
All right, let's go. Steelers versus Titans Sunday at Heinz Field. Pittsburgh is 1.5 dogs at home, though. Not feeling good about that one. Over under of good old 43. What do you got?
I'll take the Titans with the points, and I'll take the under.
Titans.
I need to see more from this team. Like, from start to finish, I need to see more. It's yet to see if Bud Dupree is going to have his revenge game. And if he does, I like Bud Dupree in a matchup over Dan Moore.
No doubt. That we didn't talk about Bud Dupree, but Bud Dupree, I mean, he just returned to practice on Tuesday. Do you think he's going to play this week?
Do you think he's going to miss this game?
I don't know. I don't know what to think because he already
think,
had.
I don't think Bud DePriest in this game, bro.
No, you think he is playing? But like, is it better?
I think he can do everything to play.
But do you think that it's better for him to wait it out and have a good first game against the Steelers, or rush it back and maybe have an average game first game against the Steelers?
My only thing is that you don't know when you're going to play the Steelers again.
Yeah, I guess that is true. What if they run into them in the playoffs?
But I could be wrong. Not a couple weeks ago, last week, I said I would be appalled if Dalvin Cook came in 12 days after dislocating his shoulder.
Yeah, and then played, he ran for 205 yards.
Yeah.
And then he ran for two. Yeah, he didn't play an NFL game, though. That was not an NFL game. I don't know if you watched the same game that he played in, but that was not an NFL game. JV at best. At best. All right. So you're saying points and under.
Mm-hmm.
You got a score here? What's your score?
Under 43. I'll go Titans 20, Steelers 13.
20 to 13.
Yeah. Whew. Low scoring.
That Bud Dupree revenge game is bad. Bad for the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right. All right. All right. 1.5, 43. I've been bad at these, but.
Same. I've been terrible.
I think I got to just stick with the facts here. And what I know is that since Derrick Henry has left, the Tennessee Titans offense has averaged less than 300 yards a game. And Ryan Tannehill has thrown 4 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. They're not as good of a team as they were. The Pittsburgh Steelers are bad, but the way that they finished Minnesota and the way that they are talking, I feel like they understand that if they start out slow again, the whole season's over. This just seems like a game where you could win to keep it alive. So I'm going to go with the Steelers at 1.5 point dogs. And I'm going to go over the 43. I think this is a somewhat of a 24-20 game. And I think that's what I'll pick my score as, 24-20 Steelers. Not as much defense as we'd like to see. But I think that some things click, enough things click for the Steelers to win this one and keep it alive.
I hope you're right. And, you know, this is, I thought it was really interesting because if you look at the odds on SI Sportsbook, the Steelers are plus to 1.5, whatever it is.
Yeah, plus 1.5.
But they're minus money. And then the Titans are minus 1, but plus money, plus odds.
Yep.
I thought that was really interesting. So even the odds makers are like, bro, we have no idea what's going to happen here.
Yeah. Everybody looks at it and go, okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the Pittsburgh Steelers, and guessing them this season is ridiculous. It's easy to guess that they stink. It's not easy to guess that they're somehow going to come back from 23-0 and make it a game. That's pretty difficult to predict. All right, Donnie, we owe the people a little bit, just a little tiny bit. I think, honestly, everybody should just send us their Venmos because we've lost people a lot of money this season. But that's going to change, okay? Because we decided we're done losing people money.
Yeah.
That's not happening anymore. We've gotten rid of the same damn four-leg parlay. It's gotten out the window. Whoop, whoop. Instead, we're going to keep it simple. Where do you make your most money? You make your most money on single bets. You go, oh, these guys are going to win. Let's bet some money on this game. Oh, these guys are going to lose. Let's bet some money on this game. Oh, there's no way they score this many points. Let's bet some money here. That's how you win. Little amounts, little by little, eventually, brick by brick, you're building a house, a gambling house. So we went with our picks this week. You made your two, your lock of the week and your stretch of the week. I made mine, my lock of the week, my stretch of the week. And hopefully not only will we win people money on one bet, but we'll win people money on four.
Yeah. I really like the idea of slinging this same day, 4-leg parlay away. Number one, because sportsbooks make 30% of their money on parlays. Parlaying is usually never a good idea. It never really works out because normally if you hit 3 out of 4 bets, cool. You're up money for the day, but put all of that in the parlay, you get none of that money. None of that money at all. So even though it's not as sexy, not as exciting, gotta bet smart. Real money is involved. This is not Monopoly money. But that being said, lock of the week, no restrict mine. Coming from my side, Cowboys -10.5. Over the New York football Giants. Cowboys are the number one team in the NFL, when it comes to covering the spread, they are taking on a atrocious New York Giants team. Noah, the spread here is 10.5. I don't even know if the Giants hit 10 points. I did.
Mike Glennon. It's Mike Glennon, correct?
I believe so. Because Deion Jones got the neck injury. Defensive Rookie of the Year candidate Micah Parsons, and maybe Defensive Player of the Year candidate Micah Parsons, has been an absolute animal. You still have Trevon Diggs in the secondary having another tremendous year as well for the Cowboys. A lot working Dallas's way. I just don't see a way the Cowboys don't blow them out of the water. I really don't.
All righty. I like it. No Danny Jones. Dak Prescott. A little nervous about Dak Prescott, but you've been pretty good when picking the Giants this year, so I trust that one. What's your, here we go, stretch of the week, which we should let everybody know is not like a crazy bet. It's a good bet that might not be as good as your lock of the week. Stretch of the week, Donnie, what you got? I like the stretch. Sorry, it took me a second to realize what you're doing.
No, well, last week for the same game parlay, the same day four-leg parlay, excuse me, we bet the under for the Broncos-Lions game, not knowing that the Denver Broncos would play their best football game of the entire season following the passing of former wide receiver Devarius Thomas.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. I'm here to tell you that magic is not going to run for a second week, brother. It is simply not. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to roll into town and defeat the Denver Broncos. They are +130 on the money line. You can get them at +3 for -110 on SI Sportsbook as well if you're more interested in playing the spread. But I like the Bengals straight up over here. Broncos defense has really been off and on. So is the offense too, by the way. I mean, I really don't know what to think of that team on a week-to-week basis. I'm going to trust the Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase connection. I'm going to trust Joe Mixon to run rampant over that fairly not as good at the beginning of the year Broncos defense. It's my stretch of the week. Plus money. Sure.
Not good for the Steelers. Nope. Good for your pockets. I hope so. All righty. I think people might second guess mine, but I got reasonings behind. Let's bring them in. Come. My picks of the week here. We'll start with my lock of the week, the Arizona Cardinals, 12.5 over the Lions, -110 odds. Donnie, you were there. We all watched it, okay? The Arizona Cardinals should have won. No, I shouldn't even say that. Had a good opportunity to win. Walked into the game believing they were going to win. There's zero chance they don't win by 100 points against the Detroit Lions this week, who had their Super Bowl. They won a game. It's not like win and continue to keep trying to win. It's we won a game. It's over now. That was fun. We did it. We made sure we weren't the second winless Lions team in NFL history. The Arizona Cardinals are going to easily walk out of here with a 14-point win. I'm going to say even a 21-point. They might win 49-0. That could be a real possibility. It's disgusting. They know that they got to win this one. Easy. Lock of the week. Lock it in. Throw it away the key.
I do want to say really quick before you go to your stretch of the week, the Lions currently have 10 players on the COVID list, seven of which going into the secondary. Okay, secondary players on the COVID list. Even if they get two or three of those guys back before game time, which is less than 72 hours from now, just really not strong feelings. And I know the Cardinals lost DeAndre Hopkins for basically the rest of the regular season. They still got a lot of guys that can step up and kind of help replicate some of the production that he was putting in. Not to mention James Conner run the ball with his hair on fire as well. So, I mean, 12.5, 22.5, take it. Lock.
Completely. If it was 22.5, I'd still probably make it my lock of the week. I didn't even think about the COVID things. I knew about them, didn't even think to mention them. It doesn't even need to be mentioned. It doesn't even need to be mentioned. 12.5, lock it in there, toss all your money, throw it in. Stretch of the week here. Somebody told me one time a rule that I have followed to this day and have paid dividends following. I have not paid dividends, had it pay dividends to me. And that is always, always, always hammer down the interim head coach. And let me tell you, There is no bigger interim head coach. We thought we peaked at John Gruden. Like, there's nothing that there, we couldn't get any worse than a coach firing of John Gruden's caliber. And then Urban Meyer kicked Josh Lambeau right in the leg. And it all blew up. This is fantastic. You have Marvin Jones, who has openly fought Urban Meyer. James Robinson, who was benched by Urban Meyer when there's zero reason to bench James Robinson. Trevor Lawrence, who has been held back since day one by a coach who could care less about anybody else. An entire coaching staff, not one coach, not two coach, all of the coaches, they're just licking their chops, saying, oh my God, he's gone. This is a beautiful day. All of them have something on the line to prove. All of them are going to put on literally the greatest game they will have in probably the next 2 years, because I don't expect Jacksonville Jaguars to be very good anytime soon. Plus, they're playing the Tyrodless Taylors, Houston, Texas. Houston Texans. This was almost my lock of the week. I made it my stretch of the week because they don't have a head coach. Vegas made their odds from took their odds from 3.5, -3.5 to -5.5 with the Urban Meyer firing. They know what they're talking about. Throw it in there. Trevor Lawrence and those Jaguars, those coachless Jaguars, they're getting a win.
Roar.
I'm feeling real good about that one. Real good about that one. I love a good intern. Do it for the coach. Do it for the coach to get back at the coach that just got fired, who hated all of you. If you got Marvin Jones on your bench in fantasy football, put him in your starting lineup.
That's me.
Nope. James Robinson, same way. If you're thinking about it, if you need to somehow, maybe you got Josh Allen as your quarterback and you're just like, ah, I might need a backup. Trevor Lawrence, go get him. Because I'm telling you, it won't even be close. The city of Houston will be embarrassed. They'll remember that the Houston Texans are an embarrassment to the NFL right now. That's what they will do. I hope we start winning people money. We deserve to start winning people money right this week. This is the time. This is the one. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. We'll be back tomorrow with Friday with Derek the Kid. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk. And as always, follow your favorite podcast host at Nostrack, at Donnie Droon. And we will see you tomorrow.